Please be turning in your Bible today to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Our Lord said to his apostles in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, just after Jesus spoke those words, he ascended back up into heaven. Days later, he sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, and they began to preach. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 that after Peter had preached the gospel to these people on Pentecost Day, the scriptures tell us in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" So Peter has preached the gospel just like Jesus said. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Well, they're beginning to preach the gospel here in the city of Jerusalem on Pentecost Day of Acts 2. Now, Pentecost was one of the main festivals of these Jewish people. So there are thousands of Jews from all kinds of nations there in Jerusalem on this day. God sends the Holy Spirit upon these apostles. They began to speak in other languages. They began to speak and preach the gospel in these languages. And the Bible says that this crowd came together, and then they find out that they have been guilty of crucifying the Son of God. That's what Peter said in verse 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And the Bible tells us that when they heard that, they were pricked in their heart. Their conscience felt guilty when they heard these words of Peter. And that's when they said to Peter and these other apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, the simple question to ask about their question is, what are they talking about? When they say, "What shall we do?" what is it that they're asking about? Well, obviously, they're asking about salvation. They're wanting to know what to do about this sin and their sins that they have committed. They're lost. And so they're asking here what they have to do in order to be saved or forgiven of their sins. And so the Bible tells us in verse 38 that Peter said unto them, now, before we even read anything there, remember that Peter is being guided by the Holy Spirit here. This is God Himself speaking. And so, whatever Peter says is not a matter of opinion. Whatever Peter says is straight from God. So, let's see what Peter said in verse 38. "Peter said unto them, Repent." Now, the word repent means to change your mind. It means a change of mind, a change of heart, that, of course, results in a change of life. It means to turn away from sin and turn to God. Now, you might ask the question, well, why didn't he tell them to believe on Jesus Christ? Well, they either already now believe on Jesus Christ because of the preaching of Peter here, because if you go back to verse 14 and just read through this section, you'll find that Peter gives all these proofs that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is, as he said in verse 36, Lord and Christ. They didn't dispute that. And so perhaps there's no need for him to say, you need to believe on Jesus Christ, because at this point, they're already convinced of that. Or it could be that the word repent here includes believing on Jesus Christ, because as we have seen in many passages, that is very, very common in the Bible. God doesn't have to go through every step and every single aspect of salvation in any passage that you're looking at. But the word repent here does mean to turn from sin and turn to God. So they were guilty of crucifying the Son of God, and Peter tells them to repent, that is, to turn away from that sin. But not only that, he says to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. So Peter tells them, repent and be baptized. Now, if Peter had not said anything other than this, if Peter had not said one more word about salvation, there wouldn't be any question whatsoever about what you have to do to be saved. Because the Bible settles it here. Their question is, what shall we do? In other words, what shall we do about our sins? What are we going to do about our lost condition, and what do we have to do to get out of it, that is, to be saved? And Peter says, well, you repent and you need to be baptized. Repent and be baptized. And he says, you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that is, by the authority of Jesus Christ, and you're baptized for the remission of sins. The word remission means forgiveness of sins. It literally means sending away your sins. Now go back to what we have looked at time and again, starting with John the Baptist. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, and in Luke 3, verse 3, that John the Baptist baptized people in the waters of the Jordan River for the remission of sins. Now, John the Baptist had been preaching that baptism. John the Baptist had been baptizing many people in water for the forgiveness of sins. Now, what was the work of John the Baptist? Well, the work of John the Baptist was to be the one who prepared the way for Jesus Christ, the one who is the forerunner of the Messiah. Well, that's what he did. By preaching repentance and by preaching baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins. Now, if baptism for the forgiveness of sins in water was something that was absolutely temporary, then why on earth did John the Baptist do it as the one who prepared the way for Jesus Christ? You see, what he was doing was this. He was setting the precedent. He was establishing the pattern. And although there is something about baptism today that is somewhat different from John the Baptist's baptism, still, the practice is essentially the same, that is, dipping or baptizing or immersing in water, and the purpose being for the forgiveness of sins. The difference is, of course, that the church was not established in John's day. The Holy Spirit was not given to people just because they were baptized by John the Baptist. And also, the fact that people in John's day did not have to believe that Jesus was risen from the dead in order to be baptized. Today, we have to do that. And today, baptism is somewhat different. But at the same time, what we find then is that even the language is the same. Mark 1, verse 4, for the remission of sins. Luke 3, verse 3, for the remission of sins. And here in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now that goes hand in hand with exactly what Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16. He said, after you've preached the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And here we find Peter, who was one of those men who heard those words and that charge of Jesus in Mark 16, verse 16, is telling these people what to do to be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me ask you a few questions here. First of all, do you find here in Peter's words anything about Peter saying to these people, well, if you're going to be saved, I guess you need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you find those words here, folks? Do you find those words anywhere in the book of Acts? You can read all 28 chapters of the book of Acts. And the book of Acts records for us many examples of people being saved. People who were lost, people who were in sin, who became Christians. Do you ever find anybody being told these words, receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, or accept Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior? Now, just read all of those chapters sometime and see if you ever find that statement or either one of those statements in the book of Acts. And after you've read the book of Acts, read the whole New Testament and see if you can find that kind of statement anywhere in the New Testament. And what you're going to find is that it's not there. It's not there anywhere. You find that this is something that men have come up with. It is not in the Bible. You see, folks, it's sad, but there are things being preached in churches today that are not in the Scriptures. They're not biblical. They're really not in the Bible. And I suppose the even sadder thing is the fact that there are many people who never bother to go to the Bible to see what it says. They just take the preacher's word for it. They believe him because he seems to be a good old boy, or I've always liked him, or he's such a good speaker, or he's such a nice guy, I just can't see why he would ever tell me anything that's not true. Well, folks, we have the obligation and responsibility before God to look to the Bible to see what it says for ourselves. We can't point to any other person on this earth and say, well, I was just doing what he told me to do. I just believed it because he said it. Our preacher says this. You know, there are many people today that if you ask them, why do you believe what you do? Why do you believe and hold to the doctrine that you do? They say, well, this is what our preacher said. This is what my church believes. This is what my denomination teaches about it. And I ask you, where in all of that is the Bible? Where in all that kind of thinking is the Word of God? What we need to do and what we ought to do and what we must do if we're going to be saved is to, when we look at any question about religion, ask the question, what does the Bible say? And if your preacher, if your denomination, if your friends or your family tell you something different, then the choice ought to be clear. Go with the Bible and not what man says. Now in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we have the clear words of the inspired apostle Peter here. When he is asked, when these apostles are asked, what do we have to do? That is, to be saved. He said to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That is exactly what a preacher ought to preach today when he is appealing to people in a crowd, in an audience, to be saved. He ought to tell them what the Bible says. When a man is up before a group preaching, or when he is teaching, or when he is just talking to an individual, and he's telling those people what to do to be saved, he needs to tell them what the Bible says. And I ask you again, is this what you hear today? Is this what is being told to people? Oftentimes, it is not. The Bible tells us that after Peter had preached these words, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, going down to verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. These people didn't argue with Peter. They didn't look at him and say, now, Peter, that's not what our preacher says. That's not what our tradition tells us. That's not how I feel about it. They simply took his word because it was the word of God. And that is exactly what people need to do today. And that is what we must do if we're going to be saved. So in answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.